Do you have breath? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we praise you. 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 We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. Thank you for being provider, protector, blesser. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are to us. You are a good God, a good Father, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before you're seated, say something nice to somebody, and then everybody move into the middle, please. Please do that for me. Thank you, Jesus. I know y'all are used to sitting in your seats, but please move to the middle. Thank you, Lord. Because I want us to really focus together. So if you just move in here together, there's still plenty for elbow room. Somebody can sit in my seat if you're brave enough. Might start talking in tongues, but. Praise the Lord. There you go. That's what you do right there. All right. There you go. Sit in that seat. Praise the Lord. Well, he might start rumbling in a minute and start preaching, so. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. And then I'm going to tell you an assignment that God has given me as you're turning. Now, that's in there in those little prophets, okay? So go past Joel and Jonah over there. KCM Bible 1110.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So, we're going to start on a new mission. So I want us to all really focus together. So the Lord gave me a new assignment just a few days ago. And he said, starting now until he says differently, that I am supposed to help you strengthen your faith. Okay? So question then would be, I mean, we're going to get it up there. You're going to get manifestations. Okay? So the question then would be is, can faith get stronger? Absolutely. The Bible talks about weak faith, strong faith, great faith. So you can actually get this going better. So what I want to do, and I'm going to start at the very bottom and take us all the way up. You're going to hear things you know. I want you to hear them again. You're going to hear things you don't know because we're going to put some different foundation under some of it. But by the time we get to the convention, you're going to be spitting bullets. You're going to have what you need. You're going to have a lot of what you've been believing for. Your dreams are going to come true. I heard the prophet say to start dreaming. And so he said it on Easter. He showed up at the big church and he told us to start dreaming. So we're going to start dreaming and we're going to have our dreams come true. So are y'all on yet? So if you're listening online, we're doing this Wednesday and Sunday. We're not taking a break. So show up every time you can, because I'm telling you, your life is going to change.
Amen.
Now, so the book of Habakkuk, when we were Baptists, we called it Habakkuk. And some people still do, and that's okay, you know, but Habakkuk. So it's in here with the little prophets, but the smaller books, but it's not any less powerful. So Habakkuk was, he was a contemporary of Jeremiah. He's living in these hard times. Now they'll sound real familiar to you because he's talking to God like you've probably been taking some walks and talking to God, because there's all this wickedness going on and it's continuing while the righteous suffer through it. And he's saying, God, why don't you do something? What's going on? We need some answers here. And it just seemed like to him that the wicked had this free range. Mm-hmm. And those who love God weren't getting any justice. And so he goes to God. And when we get here to the second chapter of Habakkuk, he's placed himself as a watchman. We used to call it watchman on the wall. In fact, some interpretations say that. So he's placed himself as a watchman to hear from God, to find out what is going to happen. What's God going to do? What are you saying, God? Why haven't we seen this breakthrough yet? So there's your lesson. If you don't have answers, become a watchman. Wait on the wall, okay? So he gets his answer. So God does come and talk to him, and he assures him that the judgment is coming on the wicked. It was the Babylonians at the time. And for their arrogance, they were going to see some woes, and there would be a downfall of the oppressors. Okay, so, and most significantly, God declares this in these verses. He says, the just shall live by faith, okay? So I'm going to read chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand upon the watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Now, behold, his soul is lifted upright. That's referring to pride, okay? Yeah. So, pride is the root of all sin, okay? Now, because that's what Lucifer did. He put himself up above God. Am I right? Yes. Okay, so pride isn't just attached to a narcissist. Okay? It's not just the seemingly selfish. It's self, it's worry, it's toil, it's looking for answers without God. It's low self-esteem, high self-esteem, victim mentality, what about me, self-pity, unusually extreme grief, all of those things. It's self in the center. That's what pride is. And we know what happens to pride. There's a fall coming. Amen. So what we're told to do here then is the just, those, the righteous, those that are righteous in God shall live by faith. And then we go over to Romans 1:16. So turn over there. You need to mark these in your Bible. And you probably have. But we need to look at them. These are usually things that I just call out, but I'm determined to get you all the way on the foundation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are you there? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Number two. Okay. So Paul's writing a letter to the Romans. He's in Corinth. And he has a secretary there named Tertius, who is taking down the dictation. He's going to send a letter through Phoebe. Phoebe's going to carry it to Rome, okay? And so they're getting this letter that's telling them that the just shall live by faith. And so the letter starts out to lay out a plan of salvation, reconciliation, righteousness by faith and not by law. So first we have the one guy saying, when there's trouble, The just shall live by faith. Now we have this guy telling us that you're not living under the law, you're living under faith and not the law. Okay, so the just shall live by faith. Then we see Paul write in Galatians. So you have to turn over a few more pages there to Galatians 3:11. Okay, and it says there, but, are you there? I know I'm getting y'all flipped fast here, but praise the Lord. This is just like a new dynamic to have y'all right. I'm not having to go like this. Okay, praise the Lord. So Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So once again, he's addressing faith versus law. Okay? So now here's the last one, Hebrews 10:38. Okay? Hebrews 10:38. Guess what that comes right before? That comes right before Hebrews 11. Imagine that. Okay. So Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So now this chapter is, we know that Hebrews is a lot about the sacrifice of Jesus. It's all about Jesus, our high priest, the sacrifice, so forth. So this verse right here is about living by faith in Christ and living and in his sacrifice, that we trust what he did. So we have four, the just shall live by faiths, all used in ways that help us. We live by faith when there's yuck going on. We live by faith when the law's trying to get in, religion's trying to get in, right? The just shall live by faith. I think the Lord is trying to tell us something, and I think I know what it is. The just shall live by faith. Okay, so now he says, if any man draw back. Now here's that same scripture. There's that same thing. If any man draw back, it says, that's that subject, same thing. My soul has no pleasure in him, whatever it said there. It's talking about pride again. So you draw back into you being in charge or in the center. Mm. Come on. If you draw back and step out of faith, okay, now that's what we don't want to do. There it is. My soul has no pleasure. So you're going to live by faith. You're not going to draw back from it. And that is our vision. We are going in 2024. We're on victory shore and we're going to live by faith and we're not going to draw back and we're not going to let the enemy have us. Amen. Okay. So, and church, listen, you can think you're not doing that. Yeah, who laughed? That's right. You might want to check yourself out, because sometimes you're drift. When something happens, you can drift over into the soul zone really quick. And so you have to be able to have all of this stuff in you, lodged in you, knowing what you're doing in life, so that you won't be tempted to fall off into a bunch of stuff. Okay, so we see that there's definitely here that we should live by faith. So now, what is faith? You know, and it would just roll out like this. Everybody in here would go, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, well, that's good, but what really does that mean? Because everybody can probably quote it, but is it getting from here to here? Are we really focusing on what it means, that it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? This needs to be filled in. The blanks need to be filled in. The Bible says that we all have a measure of faith. Romans 12, does it? It says that we do. It says that that we all have enough of a measure that we can pick up the giftings that are in us. That we can faith our giftings there, right? Okay. Now, we know, and this is really easy for you. This is ABC, do re mi right here. But Romans 10:6 tells us how we got saved. We got saved just by doing what these verses say, and they're called by faith, right? But the righteousness which is of faith. Now remember, we're looking at the Roman letters. And the Apostle Paul is concerned with the Jewish people because they're ignorant of righteousness. They're still trying to get righteous by the law. So he's trying to show how the righteousness of faith works, which is what you and I are in. We're not righteous by the law. We're not righteous by our good works. We're righteous by what Jesus did. And so Romans 10:6 says, but the righteousness which is of faith, speaking on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. Hey, there we are. Which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Yeah. Now, we all did that. We did that by faith. Yeah. We believe that Jesus is Lord. We believe he's our Lord and Savior. We believe that God raised him from the dead, or you wouldn't be here right now. Mm-hmm. So, for with the heart man believes unto his right relationship, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So righteousness by faith looks like this. The word is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. And that's how you got saved. You believe in your heart or in your spirit. Not here. Here. Okay? So it's not just knowledge. It's working knowledge, or it's rhema, it's revelation. You know in your heart that these things are true. Now, so the reason you were able to believe in your heart then was because something took place that made you believe in your heart. And it's down in verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So faith rises up as you hear rhema. As you hear rhema, living word, anointed word, excuse me, anointed word, okay? So it's rising up. So faith then would be believing and speaking. Faith is not just believing. Believing and speaking, and it comes from your spirit, and it rises up as you hear the word. You start going, yeah, that's right. I believe that. And it lodges in your heart, and then that comes out your mouth because that's what you believe. Okay? All right. Well, this is going to take us a while because we're going to dig down this way, and then we're going to come back and dig down the other way. Okay, so faith, it is believing, and it is speaking. But we can't just put it in a capsule like that because faith is a force. It's a spiritual force. And it's a force that works like this. You feed your spirit word and it gets strength. You believe what you ate. You believe what's been fed to you. And then you declare it and you stay in constant belief. Until there's a manifestation, and that constant belief is called patience. And we'll get back to patience. But as you all know, patience is not waiting. Patience is not waiting. It's a consistent way of living. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You employ it and it will help you stay in faith. Okay, we'll talk about that another time. But so then, could we say that faith is trust in God? Absolutely. It is trust in God. But it's deeper. Because faith, hope, and love are all spiritual laws. They're all spiritual forces. They're a higher level than anything else on this earth. And you have them. You have them, and they work in your life, and they work in the spirit realm. Just like the fruits of the spirit and the gifts of the spirit are working in the spirit realm, faith, hope, and love work in the spirit realm. Okay. So now, Hebrews 11:1, you should be right there. They all will manifest in the natural realm, and they'll bring you what you're looking for. Or bring you there, or bring them to you, or heal your body, or whatever the case may be. All right. Good so far?
Yeah.
All right. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Hope is like you get the picture. Faith is like when you pull it in.
Yeah.
It's like a rope. Hope is when you say, I can have that.
Yeah.
Faith is when you have it.
That's good.
Got it?
Yeah.
You have it. Well, but I don't. Well, then you're not in faith. Okay, that's right. Now faith is. Okay, so what we see here, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance of things that we don't see yet, but we're like, I've got that.
Yeah.
I've got it.
Yeah.
Okay, now, so Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith, is it?
Yeah.
It's the hall of faith. So we're going to come back to that in a later teaching, but we're right here on it. And so we know that everyone that had a victory in this chapter were living by faith. They got their victory by faith. Actually, you go over to 1 John, there's a scripture that says that. Who is it that overcomes the world? Right? Talks about, what is the victory? It's our faith. Seems to be a theme around here. I think I recall that's been going on for about 22 years. Okay, so everyone had the victory. So even, including God.
Wow.
Because verse 3, look at verse 3 there. Are you looking at it? Okay. By faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. So it didn't come from nothing. It just came from the unseen world. In other words, when God said, light be, he was in faith. He believed he could, and he believes everything he says. And so it comes to pass. And so what he created by using this verse, but also we understand what he did by faith. By faith, we will understand how God did it.
Amen.
And that he did do it. Amen. So you get a double whammy right there. Praise the Lord. Now, but when you look down just before we leave this area, I want you to notice verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yeah.
So this is so important. Look at somebody and say, this is important.
This is important.
Tell them now, look at here. Okay. So many Christians think that, I don't want to go to a church like that. I don't want to have to watch what I say. After all, I don't want to be a name it, claim it person. And that message, and it really doesn't matter what we say. We didn't mean it. Well, you better let the devil know about that, honey, because he sure thinks you mean it.
Yeah.
Amen. And so when you go to spouting off things that you shouldn't be saying, there's a spiritual atmosphere that will take advantage of what you're saying, and everybody here knows this. So, not to mention that Jesus had something to say that things that come out of your mouth really do count. Amen. And we're going to go back and refer to that soon too. So we'll get to it. Now, back to 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you're going to have faith in God. It pleases him because that's the way he can please you. Because he's a God of faith, and he does not operate outside of that realm. He's not the God of the begging.
That's right.
It doesn't work. He's not the God of the doubting. He's the God of faith. And so you have to have faith in the promises and faith in what he's been telling you. And the Bible says he's a rewarder. If you look and see what that actually means, it's remunerator. He will answer upon approach. I love that. He'll answer upon approach. And when you start getting enough faith in God and you're going to believe you receive what you're saying, you're going to know that right then he said yes. And that's where we're going. All right. Good? All right. Now, to believe, you feed the word into your spirit. Well, Pastor, we know this. You've been talking about it for years. Church, to believe, you feed the word into your spirit. It's like, I've said this to you 1,000 times. I'm going to say it again. It's like taking a shower. If you get under the water, you will get wet. Don't try to have faith. Don't try to get out of doubt. Eat.
Yeah.
Susanna was just telling me about her morning cocktail. Not Jim Beam or Jack Daniels. She's talking about, you're like, how do you know those names? Praise the Lord. So, I heard the song. I heard the song. Okay. Now, so she's talking about the green stuff she drinks and all that. And we're all talking about all the, you know, vitamins and all that kind of stuff. This is the same thing here. How do you get your immune system up? How do you get some energy? You put some protein in there, right? Yeah. You put some stuff in there and it helps you. It's the same thing with this. You put word in there and you put it, if you're like having a lot of trouble, word, keep going until you get your faith up there high enough that you're saying, I got this. Okay. This is what you have to do. You have to get to that place. Creflo Dollar used to say, I'm going to win. That's what he used to sing. He talked about how he was going to win because he had already won. Yeah. All right. Well, what had he done? He'd gotten into the word. He worked the word. Say, work the word. All right. Now, so, you know, you get under the water, you get wet. So if you're under the word, you will get faith. Okay, it'll rise. Now that's to believe. To say then, let's talk about to say. And we'll look at that in the last few minutes, and then we're going to pick up on some other stuff on Sunday. But if you're going to turn your faith loose, that's what Brother Hagin used to say, turn your faith loose, then you're going to need something called confession. And so the way that you're going to have to learn how to use confession. There's three kinds of confession. The first kind of confession, the main confession, is when a sinner confesses and confesses Jesus as Lord. Am I right?
Yeah.
Real easy. Okay. So, listen. So you get this. This is John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Of sin, listen to this, is verse 9. Of sin because they believe not on me. That's the sin. Church, what is the sin of the unsaved sinner that they get convicted of? What is it? Not believing on who? That's the sin. That's the sin. See, all the other sins are just a big pile because you're, quote, a sinner until you get saved. But once you're saved, you're not a sinner anymore. Well, a sin, yeah, you do. But you're not a sinner. That's not who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. And so what happens here then is you're coming to a new place, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the main confession you need to make to move out of sin. Okay. That's just so good. I love that. They just don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. That's the sin. But we do, praise the Lord, and people are coming in. Deb won somebody on the phone today, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, now, the second confession is the believer's confession. And this is when you're out of fellowship with God. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Church, that's all about fellowship. God has forgiven you. He's forgiven you. But in order to stay in fellowship, you don't have to go to the priest and get in the closet and all that stuff. Yeah. So you can, and I'm not cutting them down. It's just, you just don't have to do that.
Right.
You have total freedom to go sit on God's lap. And you can go right to him. The reason why we confess our sin is the same reason why if I hurt Jesse's feelings, I would ask her to forgive me so that nothing would harm our fellowship. It's relationship. It's fellowship. And so you go to God and say, Lord, I messed up on that. And then your gate has to get open. God's gate is open. Amen. Okay. So that would be the believer's confession. That'd be what we're doing. We're working on those things. Now, here's something interesting I want to put in here. Broken fellowship, and I have scripture to prove this. Broken fellowship causes things to get in sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, well, nothing could get in. Well, wait a minute. I think we can all prove in our lifetime that isn't so. We've let things, lies get to us, right? Now listen to this. Here's where sickness got in. James 5:14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we're saying, okay, somehow this got on me. I messed up. Let's go to the courts of heaven, lay hands on me. Let's get this gone. And you get right back in things and then sickness is removed. Amen. So I think it's important to understand that. And it's about fellowship. It's church. You're not getting saved and then you sin. And so then you get to get saved again.
No.
You're like, Pastor, we know that. I know, but somebody may be watching who thinks that they lose their salvation every time they sin.
No.
You're not losing your salvation.
No.
I have done many things, but it's interesting. I'm still the daughter of Clifton Alexander.
That's
nothing
right.
Can change that. I got in. I was born into his family. The same with God. You're born into the family. Now you just need to act like it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay. That's pretty easy, right? That's 101. All right. Now, the third thing then, this is the big one for us. This is where you and I are, right here. The third one is witnessing to a truth that we have embraced. Did you get that? Witnessing to, so that's the confession part. It is the key to faith. Confession is the key to faith. Look at somebody and tell them, confession is the key to faith. All right, now. Mark 11:23. Your Bible probably fall open to there. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed to be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but you believe, shall believe those things which you saith, shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever he saith. Notice here, believe once, saith three times.
Yep.
The Lord told Brother Hagin, he said, you're going to have to preach on the saying or the confession part three times as much as you have to preach on the believing part.
Yeah.
Notice it says that right here in this word.
Yeah.
It's that confession part that tends to fall off. Okay, so we have to watch what confession is. Well, okay, so what is confession? Real simple, 1, 2, 3. It's affirming something we believe. It's affirming something we believe. Number two, it's testifying to something we know. I know Jesus is alive. I've talked to him. Okay. He's talked to me. Number three, it's It is witnessing of a truth that we have embraced. Now, who did that? Who embraced a truth in the Word and they kept witnessing it? Can you think of someone? How about Abraham? He called things that were not as if they were. He didn't have a single kid, and he's walking around saying, "Hello, I'm a father of a multitude." He's telling her, "I'm a father of a multitude." Telling everybody, "I'm a father of a multitude." Just told everybody. And what happened? He is. Yeah. First he had Ishmael, which wasn't a good idea. And we're still dealing with that to this day, in case you don't know it. And then he had Isaac, who is the promised child. And then after Sarah went on, he married Keturah, and they had a lot of children. I would say his faith was working very well in his hundreds.
Amen.
Made everything else work as well. Now, confession centers around five things. You ready?
Yeah.
Number one, confession centers around five things. Number one, what God in Christ has produced for us in the plan of redemption. That's one. What God in Christ, what God has produced for us. Excuse me, for us. Got it? In the plan of redemption. So it'll become very clear to you in just a few minutes. Number two, what God through the Word has produced in us in the new birth and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's what confession is going to deal with here. Number three, do I need to repeat that?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Okay, number one, what God in Christ, don't make that hard, what God in through Jesus has produced for us in the plan of redemption. You know what he's produced, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you're going to, that's part of your confession. Number two, what God through the Word has produced in us in the new birth and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. What has God produced in us by being saved and be filled with the Spirit? A lot.
Yeah.
Number three, what we are to God the Father in Christ Jesus. Sons, seeds of Abraham. Amen. Okay. So number three, what we are to God, the Father in Christ Jesus. Number four, what Jesus is doing right now for us at the right hand of God, he ever makes intercession for us. So there's another thing we're making confessions about. I'm going to read them all back to you in a minute. What Jesus is doing right now at the right hand of the Father, where he ever makes intercession for us. And then number five, what God can do through us and what his Word will do through our lips. Very important. Okay. What God can do through us and what his Word will do through our lips. I'm going to read all five to you again. If they sound a little King Jamesy, just relax your mind. You're going to get it. Number one, what God in Christ has produced for us in the plan. What he's already produced for us in this plan. That's what we're going to be making our confession about. What would that be? Psalm 91. He produced for us protection. And so you'd want to, I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. There's a confession in that right there. Okay. Number two, what God through the Word has produced in us. Has produced in the new birth and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So since you're born again and you're filled with the Spirit, what has God produced? Well, he's get eternal life. You have eternal life. You're not going to die. And then you have the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit, right? So he's produced this in you.
Yeah.
Is this getting more clear? Praise the Lord. All right. Number three, what we are to God the Father in Christ Jesus. That's real easy. Sons, heirs, right? Okay. All right. Number four, what Jesus is doing for us at the right hand of the Father. He ever makes intercession. What's he doing? He's the mediator. He's right there saying, "No, devil, they're confessing this. Father, they're confessing your word right now.
Yeah.
Father, that's what they're doing. He is the high priest of your confession. And during this season where we're going over our faith, that's the one thing I would suggest that you remember, that Jesus is listening to what you're saying, and he can actually bring to pass your confession.
Yes.
Isn't it interesting how we've known and known and known, but when we do it again, we know it all over again. Okay. So what can God do through us, and what his word will do through our lips? Now, this is interesting. I'm going to tell you a big thing right here. The believer's authority. The believer's authority through your mouth changes this world. Yeah, it does. I'm going to say something to you in a minute. And I'm really going to say something to you on Sunday, if I can hold it that long. See, people know Jesus as their personal Savior, but they don't all know their privileges. We have privilege. We have privileges. And you can't witness about things you don't know about. So you're not making the right witness or the right confession if you don't know. That's why you really need to, when you're in church, you really need to be listening. That's why I wanted to pull us all together. So you're really listening with everyone else. So many people get off on strange things. For all these years, there's certain things that we're teaching that people still don't get. And I'm like, okay, so let's go back to ABC.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Okay, so what do you know? The promises are right here in the Word. They're here in the Word. Now, here's what I want to get to. It's one of my favorite things. Are you in Him?
Yes.
Are you in Christ? Are you in whom? You know what I'm talking about? Take your Bible, and while we're in this season, start reading the letters. And when you read the letters, circle in him, in whom, circle in Christ, because every time he says those words, he tells you something you have or who you are.
Wow. Okay.
Woo! Isn't that good? And so you're looking here and you're going, in him, I am this. In whom, I have this. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. And so this is going to build your faith up when you start, read, and you used to do this. You got to do it again. So go underline them all, in whom, in him, in Christ. And you're going to start seeing what you have. Can we do it? Can we do it all fresh again? Well, Pastor, it's been circled in my Bible for 19 years. Well, go back and look at what you circled then. Put another color on it. What do I have in him? What do I have in him? What do I have in Christ? Who am I in Christ? Think about it. Meditate on it. How do you have success? He told Joshua how to have success. To meditate the Word of God day and night. This is a really... That's not good English. Help me. This is a real good way. This is a real good, I'm trying to improve my English. I'm looking at the English teacher. This is a real good way to meditate the word. Because in the letters, it's all about you. Okay. So go in there and look in him, in him, in him. Oh, it's everywhere. All through the letters. The Apostle Paul just wrote about it and wrote about it and wrote about it. You just look through there. You're going to come up with so many wonderful things. Amen? So, and I'm going to give you a few examples of that on Sunday morning, and we'll pick up there on Sunday morning, okay? Did you like this?
Yes.
This help you?
Yeah.
See, now, I know by looking at y'all that a lot of this you know.
Yeah.
But you need to know it again. You need to know it again. Can I tell them? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pretend like you're about to raise your hand. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. How many of you need some money? okay? All right. Listen to me. Don't pray for money.
Okay.
Let me tell you why. Not because we're all humble and holy. God has given his children everything with Jesus. The gold, the finances, the cattle on a thousand hill. All, he didn't give that to the devil's camp. He gave it to us. So you don't have to pray for it. And I'm going to tell you, between now and Sunday, what you can do, and some of you are going to walk up to me on Sunday and say, I got it and it happened. Here's what you say. Devil, take your hands off my money. Take your hands off my $1,000. Take your hands off the extra $200 I need. It's mine. It's mine. Take your hand off that job that belongs to me. Take your hands off what is mine. You have the believer's authority. Thank God for it. You don't have to beg God for anything. You don't have to be begging God for money. You need to start saying who you are and what you can do and get the devil off your stuff. Now listen, just be honest, because I've done this, and I've been in faith for a long time. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes you'll flip over into this. Now, Lord, you know we need to, well, Lord, I would like to, well, Lord, not when it comes to this subject, it's already yours. Are there things we pray for? Yes. But with this, it's yours.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you might want to ask him on particular things, but when it comes to everyday life and the money that's coming in and your salary and your paycheck and all those things and what should be flowing into you, that's mine. The Lord told Brother Hagin that. You know, back then Brother Hagin would be believing for $200 to us. That's like 20. But he'd be saying, he said, you know, he needed that to come in the offering in his churches. 200, I'm like, wow. But, I mean, it's a whole lot different today. But the Lord said, don't pray for that anymore. Tell the devil, you have authority here. Tell the devil, take your hands off what is mine.
Yeah.
That's easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
We can do that. See, we've gotten a little loose. And sometimes we forget how to operate in these things. That's why I want to go back and shore you up about this. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You receive it?
Yes.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the offering tonight. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, for the anointing on this word. Father, we choose to live by faith. We choose to look at what you're telling us. You gave me this assignment, and I thank you. I will do what you tell me to do, and will rise up and step into this awakening like never before in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, brothers. If you're giving online, those of you that are watching online, we really appreciate it. I've seen some of you sending in your funds, and so you say, like, well, do you look at them? Well, they actually ding on my phone, so sometimes I see them. I'm not looking at them all the time, but sometimes I see them. Give via text message. Text VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. And we bless you for it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We're going to win. And we're not just going to take back what was stolen. We're going way over. We're going to go way over. And I'm just going to say to every one of you here and those of you watching, anything my Heavenly Father did not plant in your body is rooted out in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye.
Glory to God.
Ha! That stuff lights my fire. We need it. We need to be faith experts. We need to be, when people, I've heard Brother Copeland say this, and I've heard Nancy say this a lot. You do the basics. That's how you win the baseball game. You got it. They get out there. They throw that ball. They do the same thing. Yep. They make the same plays. They do it over and over until they're so good at it that they win every game.
Yeah. They've mastered the skills.
They master the skills, the basic skills. And that's what we're going to do. I'm throwing the ball to you, and we're going to do it. And you're going to catch it. Get your glove out. Get your glove out. Get both of these gloves out. Get ready. Catch it. And start throwing it back like you know how to do it. Think about this stuff. How many of you will go look at in him and in whom? Will you look at those? Praise the Lord. Do it. I'm going to do it. I'm doing it tomorrow morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
God is good. It's time. It's time. Now, family meeting. Okay, so we know that things are really in the world today. No fear here.
No.
I don't know what you've listened to. I don't know what you've... There is everything you can imagine from us rapturing next Monday to don't go outside to whatever. We're not afraid.
No, we're not.
Do what God tells you to do.
That's right.
You can, all of you can see it from your house.
Yeah.
And wear the glasses. Yeah. Don't look at the sun. You see the corona and you should be able to see Saturn and Jupiter. That'd be cool. This is cool. Don't make this into a devil event.
Right.
Now there's stuff being said and the evil people have some plans. Not on our watch. In the name of Jesus, I use my authority and I declare they have no access. Access denied.
Yes.
To any of us and ours. Not getting in. Not getting on our properties. And not filling up our parking lot on Sunday morning.
Yeah. Amen.
You agree?
I agree.
We're not having it.
No.
So be brave. Be strong. And if you don't like crowds, stay at home. Now, God gave pastors a job.
Yep.
Teach and preach the word and also to help protect the flock.
Yeah, right.
So I'm telling you, go get some food and get some gas in your car.
Yeah.
Not because evil is coming to get you, because people out there could get a little cuckoo.
Yeah.
It's not about this. It's about how people behave when they hear all these things.
Yeah.
So, John took me to the store, got some groceries, and we're set to go. And so we're not, you know, we usually are shopping. I'm not going out to shop on those days, which, by the way, I'm just going to tell you, they're already kind of going cuckoo. And so they're trying to restock over here, but you might want to go get your milk and stuff because has anyone gone this evening? How was it?
No bread.
The shelves are getting empty.
I actually weren't there at HEB.
Okay.
The best time to go is not at 7 in the morning. It needs to be more like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, but we can restock everything.
Okay, that's what I understand, that y'all are restocking, but they're running out because everybody's coming to get stuff.
Yeah, but lots of people come first thing in the morning and we're not restocking.
You're not ready yet. Okay, so y'all got that? Thank you. I love HEB. And thank you for telling us that. So, yeah, and you might want to, if you don't want to be in a long gas line, do it now. I'm just trying to help you stay out of the hectic stuff. And then, I mean, if you come down and want to party right in the middle of everything with Miss Lollipop and them, go ahead. I'm just trying to tell you that get your stuff because we don't know how people will act. But having said that, another thing I'm going to say, our property, our roads are safe.
Yes, they are.
Not on our watch. There'll be no tragedy, no accident, no sickness, no disease, no poison, no perversion, no inflammation, insurrection, trouble, disaster of any kind within our radius in Jesus' name. We take authority over it, just like we take authority over the hell, and none of us ever get any. We're taking authority over the actions and reactions of the people.
Yes.
And
and
declare people enjoy themselves.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen.
Say what?
We're safe.
We are safe.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. We're safe and the devil is out.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, April, May, June, July, and August, we're going up financially. We're going up spiritually. Our people are all going to get well, strong, healthy, see miracles, and we're on the subject to do it. Y'all receive that?
Yes.
Yeah, stand up. Any questions about anything? You know, we could go into a bunch of conspiracy stuff, but y'all know what's right and what isn't. Just watch what you listen to. You know.
Just let the word be the final authority.
I really don't think we're going to rapture on April the 8th. I will tell you this, though. That's my Holy Ghost birthday. April the 8th is my Holy... That's the day I got filled with the Holy Spirit in 1976. It'd be a real glorious day. But we're not rapturing. We haven't seen the Great Awakening in its fullness yet. Now, if we did, I'd be happy. We could all just go and have a good old time. But I don't think that's going to happen. And I'll just say this, just to clear the whole atmosphere in the whole wide world. I declare that CERN has no effect. They are denied access into this world in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen.